from down the trench. The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet artificial government agency. Take the red pill.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our bunker this lovely Monday evening.
It is June the 12th of 2006, and I have no idea whether that has any special numerological significance.
Oh, but, probably not, but it sounds good.
Yes, but we welcome you to a
new... I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that one. Well, while you ruminate about that, we welcome you back to another week, and this will be the first week of our summer conspiracy series.
That's right. We are spending the next, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks.
Yes.
Including this week. Did I count that right?
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yeah, 7 weeks.
Seven weeks exploring the various aspects of conspiracy hood.
Things they dare not say on commercial mainstream radio.
And if they do, well then, sorry, but we just have to cut you off now. No, you're not going to hear this kind of stuff anywhere else. Well, actually, you're going to hear it a lot of other places. Oh, we're just blathering on and on. Sorry, I'm tired.
Tomorrow night we'll begin.
I didn't sleep much over the weekend.
No,
we had the worst thunderstorm on Saturday
night into Sunday morning, and the dogs were obviously concerned for our safety because they were making an awful lot of noise. Hey, hey, are you okay? Hey, we're out here all alone. Hey.
There was a time when Belle and Gretel were still with us that Belle, Murphy, and Gretel, when they would get upset like that, and Gretel was terrified of thunderstorms.
Yeah.
And so Murphy would always alert us to that fact that Gretel is scared. Murphy, being very brave, of course, was never bothered. Yeah, right. Well, anyway, we would just put them down in the basement. We would rather not get into that habit with the two dogs, Murphy and Java.
Right.
We want them to get used to it. So what I've been trying is I go out there with them. We have a three-season porch where they sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest dog house in the world. I go out there and I spend the evening with them. And I had to spend most of that night because it was bolt after bolt after bolt and thunder that was clapping really, really loudly, shaking the entire back porch.
Yeah, and that did help to calm them down, but it didn't make for a very restful night's sleep for you. And then,
the couch tried to swallow me.
Well, yeah, the couch is one that we rescued from a curbside someplace, so it's not exactly in the greatest condition.
We adopted our couches, too.
Yeah, but as long as we're talking about storms, well, let's start off with Tropical Storm Alberto.
What is going on with Alberto? If you have not seen WatcherMagazine.com today, go there, because I downloaded a GIF that is available from a site called Mimic. It's the University of Michigan's.
Wisconsin.
Sorry. I misspoke. The University of Wisconsin's site. They have satellite imagery on there of all of these various regions looking at storms.
Right.
And in the past, last year, we found a few times where there were some really interesting what one would say are artifacts, when in fact it well could be and has been rumored to be signatures of weather.
Right,
operations.
Modification, anomalies. Apparently this technique, which they call Mimic, is a type of imaging using microwaves. And the reason the University of Wisconsin came up with this is because the satellites that pass over the Gulf of Mexico and the Western Atlantic Ocean pass over with enough time in between overflights that you can't really get a good real-time look at what these hurricanes are doing. So by using microwaves, they can detect the way the energy is moving and the clouds are moving, and it gives a much more accurate picture than an overflight looking down at the cloud tops because you can see the eye wall of the hurricane where a satellite photo up above looking at visual would see maybe the clouds rather than the eye itself.
That was a great explanation of that.
Yeah, I was looking at it earlier today, so I could explain it tonight. I was trying to do a little research after you spotted the picture. But the animated GIF that Sharon posted to Watcher Magazine shows a reddish arc that
two of them that intersect
and twist almost like serpents that are intertwining
exactly.
And tangling.
That's what I thought when I saw it too. Now, twined snakes.
Yeah. Now the dark red indicates a higher energy level or temperature level. Last year during Hurricane Wilma, if you remember Wilma, it ramped up from a tropical storm to a Cat 5 within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Un- believable. But during the time that it was intensifying so rapidly, there were these anomalies, these bright red anomalies, which indicated spikes of energy just to the north and east side of the hurricane, if I remember correctly. This arc is something totally different and new. And last year, now, the Mimic site posted a note in response to some questions that were raised, including this was even noticed by Richard Hoagland.
I remember that.
Who is, of course, the guy who's convinced that the Mars, Cydonia area has some connection to Giza. In response to that, because that, Hoagland, of course, gets a lot of attention, the Mimic site said these are just artifacts that result from the process of imaging that we use. That's all
sure
there is to it. It's nothing to be alarmed about. There's nothing going on in these pictures. Yeah. Well, then why are you guys, why are we seeing these gradients from green to red showing the temperature differences anyway? If they're going to pop up all of these artifacts, that pretty much renders the imagery useless.
Well, this stuff
is
so weird. And of course, Alberto is starting to really churn now. And it happened just about the same time as those very odd arcs, intersecting arcs took place.
Right.
Now, I looked there just a little while ago, about 15 minutes ago. We're now recording this about 7:45 or so Central Time. Those are now gone. You can see the beginning of them, or rather it's the tail end, because they cycle further and further because they keep it updated. So, in other words, whatever, if an outside force made that, then that outside force is no longer making it.
Well, they've got it ramped up to what they need. The forecast, when I looked at it this morning at the National Hurricane Center's website, which is maintained by NOAA, they were projecting that Alberto was not ever going to strengthen beyond a tropical storm status. Now, of course, they have got hurricane warnings out for the western coast of Florida, the northern half of the western coast of Florida anyway. It appears as though it's going to track right across southeast Georgia as a tropical depression across the center part of South Carolina, and then back out to sea where it's going to strengthen up to tropical storm status again. Now, once it does that, it's going to be very interesting to watch. You might remember a couple of weeks ago, we made mention of some very anomalous water temperature readings from the North Atlantic, showing that the temperatures off the coast of New Jersey, off the coast of the mid-Atlantic states, were running almost 20 degrees, if I remember right, about 20 to 30 degrees above normal for this time of year.
Yeah, and they're still pretty warm. In fact, I looked at beach temperatures yesterday, and South Carolina beaches were warmer than Florida beaches.
That is very interesting. The reason this is interesting is that the five-day track at NOAA's website, the National Hurricane Center's website, shows it tracking up the eastern seaboard. What have we been hearing all spring? This year, the...
Even on the Weather Channel.
Even on the Weather Channel, the guys at AccuWeather, and even on Discovery Channel with these made-for-TV... disasters that might happen.
Yeah, that's what I meant by the Weather Channel. They have one, too.
Yeah, they are projecting that this year the Atlantic states, the New England states, are in severe risk, or high risk anyway, of taking a direct hit from a hurricane. And something like this that goes back out to sea, if it hits these warmer waters, could strengthen back up again and then suddenly surprise us with a curve back to the north or northwest and hit New York City, Boston, Baltimore, Philadelphia, any one of those cities. Right now, the track takes it parallel to the coast, which is what you would expect from a storm that's headed back out to sea. But we've seen some very anomalous things happen with hurricanes over the last couple of seasons. Remember a couple of years ago, and I forget which hurricane it was, but it did like a dipsy doodle, a loop-de-loop.
Oh, it was wild.
And came back across Florida into the Gulf of Mexico. And then there was Hurricane Ivan that hit in the Gulf Coast. Went, across Appalachia, basically, went back out to sea after it hit North Carolina and Virginia, looped back in as a tropical storm, crossed Florida again, and then hit Texas.
Which I think is so interesting, and I think we may have said this on the show earlier about this, because there's if you've ever seen The Hunt for Red October, you know the phrase, Crazy Ivan. It's supposed to be something that the Russian sub-commanders do. They suddenly turn 180.
Right. Totally unexpected move, hence Crazy Ivan. So we'll keep an eye on tropical storm, soon to be Hurricane Alberto, over the next couple of days. And our prayers are with our friends and family members.
We've got family down there.
Who are down in Florida and in Georgia and in South Carolina. So we are, thinking of you and keeping you in our prayers. And again, we confess that we have not paid as close attention to these monster storms that have been battering China and Australia over the last couple of months. And
I wish I had a site to find out if there's a similar site to Mimic that takes a look over there. I'll have to take a look and see if Mimic has that, because offhand I can't remember.
Right.
My guess is that because more and more people are starting to catch on to what the microwave analysis can reveal, mm-hmm. that Mimic may just either crash from all the people accessing the server, or suddenly change their technology,
yeah.
or worse yet, start to, well, I would hate to see someone doctor any files. Let's
right.
just put it that way.
Well, it's a fascinating website to look at, to give you almost up-to-the-minute real-time imagery of what is happening with mm-hmm. the hurricanes that are being tracked out there in the Atlantic. Boy, I'll tell you, story that popped up over the weekend that really caught my eye was a headline that reads, FBI says no hard evidence connecting Bin Laden to 9/11.
You told me about this story when you found it, and I just went, what?
Yeah.
The FBI says that?
This was a story that comes from Ed Haas, who has a website called the Muckraker Report, and the story was picked up and reprinted by globalresearch.ca, which is a great website for well-thought-out and well-written articles of this type. It's not there are some sites that you go to when you're looking into things like this that get a little more, away from hard evidence mm-hmm. when it comes to and more into just plain ranting. And those, that's not useful. But this is a story that Ed Haas, Muckraker Report, sourced out himself, and he names the spokesman for the FBI that he spoke to. He received an email last weekend, which would have been about the weekend of the 3rd of June, June the 3rd or so. Mm-hmm. The email asked him a simple question. Why doesn't Osama bin Laden's most wanted poster make any direct connection with the events of September 11th, 2001? Now, that seems like a really weird question. So I went to the FBI's website and I looked at his most wanted poster, which is available online at FBI.gov. Sure enough, Osama bin Laden is wanted for the terrorist attacks in Tanzania and Kenya. You remember there were bomb attacks on American mm-hmm. embassies there, but no mention whatsoever of the events of September 11th, 2001. Well, Mr. Haas, being a good reporter apparently, contacted the FBI directly and said, how is this possible? And he was told by FBI spokesman Rex Toomb, T-O-M-B, who is the chief of investigative publicity for the FBI. Someone you would assume would know what to say uh-huh. when fielding questions from reporters.
Yes.
He said, and I quote, the reason why 9/11 is not mentioned on Osama bin Laden's most wanted page is because the FBI has no hard evidence connecting bin Laden to 9/11, end quote.
It gets better, folks.
It is really unbelievable.
Because, as I understand it, his excuse was, or his reason was, that they didn't have enough evidence to go for an indictment. Unless
right.
there's an indictment, you can't put it on the wanted poster.
Something of that nature. He explained, and I'll continue, again quoting Rex Toomb, the FBI gathers evidence. Once evidence is gathered, it is turned over to the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice then decides whether it has enough evidence to present to a federal grand jury. In the case of the 1998 United States embassies being bombed, bin Laden has been formally indicted and charged by a grand jury. He has not been formally indicted and charged in connection with 9/11 because the FBI has no hard evidence connecting bin Laden to 9/11. End quote.
So what he is saying is, unless you're indicted, you're not wanted for that particular crime.
Apparently so.
I find that really hard to believe.
Well, that really raises a lot of questions. Is the standard that the United States uses to go to war lower than the standard we use to charge and indict someone
mm-hmm.
for a crime? Apparently so.
Well,
because this was the reason, his connection to the 9/11 attacks, not the 1998 mm-hmm. embassy bombings, but the 2001 attacks on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, were the reason we used to invade a sovereign nation.
Afghanistan.
So, but we don't have any hard evidence to connect him to the 2000.
When Carl Schwartz was here,
mm-hmm.
he discussed a young man from McMaster University.
In Canada, right.
In Canada, who was wanted by the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently not wanted enough. But if he's been indicted by a grand jury, why isn't he apprehended?
Why isn't he in custody? I don't know. And I don't know for a fact that that young man had, in fact, been.
Well, that's just it.
Yeah.
I find that very curious.
It is very curious. And let's be honest. The United States government had convinced the world, or at least convinced a majority of the United States population,
mm-hmm.
that Osama bin Laden was public enemy number one, that we had to get him, and we had to send the military to do it,
mm-hmm.
because we knew he was in Afghanistan, so we needed to smoke him out of his cave,
mm-hmm.
and take him out. And yet, 5 years later, the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, does not have, after 5 years of investigating, enough evidence to even put the events of September 11, 2001 on his most wanted poster?
I'm
flabbergasted.
So am I. That's the very word I was searching for. I just don't know what to say.
And you know what amazes me? What is really even more amazing is that here we are 5 years after the event, and it's only now somebody noticed, hey, look at his most wanted poster.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, duh.
I know. It's a real forehead slapper.
It really is. Now,
well, you have to ask yourself, is the FBI, you know, because we know there's infighting between the spy agencies.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Is this sort of a, we're just going to say this, so mwah. What are you going to do about it, NSA, CIA guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I kind of floated the, well, I don't know. There are a couple of people that I thought I could, you know, toss that question to about infighting, and I haven't gotten a straight answer back. So.
Well, you know, sometimes you're not going to get a straight answer back. We're going to have to follow up on this and see what happens. Well, the good news is, while you're listening to your conspiracy theories, guys, you can drink your beer because that's good for you. But you have to drink 17 a day.
Well, I had heard that it was okay, that it was actually good for your heart to have a little bit of alcohol a day. You know, wine sometimes, but even beer was mm-hmm. good for your heart. But this,
well, this
is not...
this is, you're supposed to get hopped up because it's in the hops.
It's in the hops. Okay.
In fact, researchers are trying to increase the xanthohumol in the hops to make this even better for you boys, which means that you're going to have genetically modified hops. They'll be hip hops, and they'll be going in that beer.
Yeah, the report that was released today indicates that the hops may help fight prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to get enough out of beer to do it, you need to drink about 17 a day,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, leads to some other problems.
Exactly.
So it's probably
which
not worth
it. Which is why this study actually, I'm sure that they're trying to figure a way to actually just have that alkaloid, the xanthohumol, and use that to treat or prevent mm-hmm. prostate cancer. But we're not advocating drinking 17 beers a day. We're not even advocating drinking one if you're not akin to do it. But I just thought it was a really interesting story. Now, what frightens me along that same consumption line is mm-hmm. that apparently doctors now want to tax our Cokes and Pepsis, and next they'll be coming after our donuts. I just know it.
This is very interesting because I read a short story some years back, and I probably have mentioned the name of this author before, Larry Niven.
Uh-huh,
who's, yeah, my favorite science fiction author. And many of the things that he's written, that he wrote back in the 60s and 70s, are now 30, 40 years later coming to pass.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a short story that revolved around government oversight of butter and a black market in butter that developed to supply people who just couldn't live without their butter on toast. It was because, for the same reason as the story here, the government wants to make sure that people aren't consuming anything that's bad for them. Okay, in this case of this story, doctors are wanting this tax, this extra tax on sugared soft drinks to combat obesity. I mean, if you're inclined to drink a lot of sugary soda,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to pay more for the privilege. What the government's going to do with the extra money, I don't know. You know,
it's stupid. You're going to have to tax sugar then. You're going to have to tax Kool-Aid. You're going to have to tax juices. They're high in sugar.
Right.
I mean, you can get your sugar from a lot of different places.
Yeah.
Isn't it our choice?
Well, you would think so. You would think so. But here's the thing. Once you start that ball rolling downhill, it's tough to stop. Mm-hmm. And here's what I mean by that. We have come to a point in our society in which we believe the government has a duty, a responsibility to take care of nearly everything that affects us in life. And that even includes healthcare, health insurance costs. And, you know, why should I be paying more for my insurance because these people are eating themselves into cardiac arrest or because these people are smoking themselves into lung cancer? Why should my insurance raise it? So tax them. But where do you stop then? Okay. You may not smoke, but you might enjoy a couple of three beers a night, you know, and you may not drink, but you might enjoy, you know, lathering the butter on that bagel in the morning. And you might not eat butter, but you've got to have, you know, that burger at lunch or extra bacon with your eggs in the morning. Where do you stop? I mean, how far should the government go to protect us from ourselves?
Oh, you don't. And don't even get me on that soapbox because the it's set up. It is the game is rigged because we've got the pharmaceutical companies who are prescribing drugs for anything and everything. You know, stubtoeitis. Oh, no.
Obesity.
Yeah, well, we can prevent that, you know, just by taking this. I mean, in fact, I had a story on Watcher a couple of days ago about how an extremely high percentage of young kids, middle school, you know, high school, college, are taking street drugs that are actually prescribed for ADHD and things like that. And it's all to fine-tune their brains so they can really hone in. It's right. like speed that used to be taken by kids in college, okay? Well, pharmacy has taken over our lives. We now expect, okay, we're going to have to take drugs. I have to take my drugs. These drugs are expensive. How am I going to pay for my drugs? What happens if I need more drugs when I get older? I'm going to have health insurance. So I have to have the health insurance. Well, now the health insurance people are telling me what I can and can't do.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. They're coming in, they're saying, well, it looks to me like your lifestyle. You better kind of change it. And I mean, they've got doctors that are spying on us and reporting to the health insurance companies. Whatever happened to the old days where you just paid your bill out of your pocket?
Yeah. Yeah. It's become a systemized, and not just in medicine, but also in banking and in with the military, which is why we're involved in the long, read, endless war. It's become a systemized program of transferring wealth from taxpayers like us to the oligarchs who control big pharma, big banking, big military.
You know what it's feeling more and more like? My grandfather was a coal miner. And the coal mines weren't very friendly, the companies that ran these, and they pretty much ran your life. They provided you a home. They provided you food through a store. They provided health needs, health care. They had doctors on call. Everything was provided for you in these camp towns. Well, it all came out of your paycheck. So when you went to pick up your paycheck, it was perhaps 10% of what you actually had earned.
Right. Yeah, it was like a feudal system.
Oh,
and that is
awful.
What we are going back to.
Exactly.
We are becoming serfs on the land to the oligarchs once again. You look at the amount of debt that the American public is racking up, and they're luring us into it. It's not like we're being forced to do this at the point of a gun. It's the same thing with the alarms that are being sounded about obesity as a problem. We're being lured into it. You know, it tastes good. It feels good. We need a bigger house. We need an extra car. We need another television set. And credit is so cheap and easy right now.
It's
Why
so
not?
Cheap. You and I get credit offers. We all do. We all get these credit offers all the time. You and I were looking at the back and just, I was, you know, it wasn't that long ago that when you looked on the back, it said that if for any reason you are late on a payment, I can be the tiniest reason. It can be no reason at all because it actually says we reserve the right to do this anytime we want. They can raise your rate to as high as, it used to be prime plus 12.99%.
Something like
it's
that,
It's now prime plus 27.99%.
Yeah.
You are paying as much as 35%.
Yep. That is usury, plain and simple. That is usury. But, you know, hey, no interest until 2007. Great, let's go for it. And
But if for any reason they take a look, oh, looky, he took out a loan for a car. Oh, kick him up.
Yeah, and the the disclaimer on the one that we saw the other night was really a hoot. We reserve the right to change this in any way, shape, or form at any time for any reason whatsoever. Like, So what you're saying is that what I'm signing here means nothing.
Exactly.
Basically.
Now, look, we're not coming from a place of saying, oh, hey, we're so great. Because-
uh-uh.
No, look, we're in credit card debt, too.
We're in debt up to our eyeballs, yeah. And we are, and we're not complaining about it.
We closed out our accounts, so we can't use them.
That's right.
That's the only way that we could eventually pay them off. But right. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's an eye-opener when you take a look at those interest rates.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, but again, they're luring us in, and they're using our basic human weaknesses to do it.
Or human weirdnesses.
Human weirdnesses to do it, yeah. So, and you know, as long as we're on this topic of drugs, let's go back to a story you posted in Watcher Magazine a couple of days ago, which is really ironic, following up the story of the doctors at the AMA. These are the delegates at the AMA convention, by the way, calling for this fat tax on sugary
mm-hmm,
sodas.
Yeah.
Over in Europe, the European Medicines Agency, meanwhile, has cleared children as young as the age of 8 for Prozac.
That is so insane. Okay, some of them will commit suicide, but look, we can live with that number.
Yeah, it's an acceptable risk. It is unbelievable. Most antidepressants were banned or restricted for use among children a couple of years ago because they found that these things can trigger mood swings and suicidal tendencies if you take these under the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
And yet in Europe, kids can take Prozac now, even though there's this heightened risk that instead of being relieved of depression, this might actually cause and deepen the depression.
Exactly, because first of all, let's just say that Prozac, of course, is an SSRI, a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. In other words, it's playing around with a neurotransmitter.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who genuinely do benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that many, though, to be honest, because first of all, you have to have a good diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you can't just make the presumption that because someone is depressed, and that's different from being down in the dumps. We're talking about clinical depression.
Which, of course, never happens to kids who are, you know, going through puberty.
Very rarely.
Yeah, puberty.
Well, clinical depression generally doesn't. But they,
no.
There's a typical teen angst. But anyway, say you've got an 8-year-old kid who is, let's say that kid really is clinically depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that any doctor should be required to go through a battery of tests to find out exactly what is causing that chemically.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't just go in there and try things. I'm speaking from personal experience because with fibromyalgia, when I was first diagnosed by my rheumatologist, she decided to try a variety of different drugs. And I tell you what, I was up, I was down, I was over, I was out, I was sleepy, I was awake. I finally just threw them all out and said, that's it. I'm not playing with this anymore because she did not do chemical analysis of my blood. She said, and this is pretty much a quote, let's try this and see how it works. Oh, try this and see how it works with your 8-year-old.
No. And remember, a few months ago, we had a story that we posted at Watcher Magazine in which one of the big mucky mucks from GlaxoSmithKline, if I remember correctly, who flat out said, we know that the majority of the time these prescription drugs don't work.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
No, I'm really surprised. What is something to watch here in the United States? You know, given that this story is coming in is from the UK and it affects Europeans, not America yet, is the recommendation which we're seeing some trial programs for in a couple of states. Illinois is one. That was put out by a presidential advisory committee year before last that recommended that school-age children be subjected to mandatory mental health screening and that these mental health screeners at the school level then be, you know, allowed to recommend and prescribe medications for children. Mm-hmm. Now, the fear is that this would lead to cases where kids were prescribed drugs and that their parents would be perhaps charged with abuse if they said, no, I don't want my child to take this drug that's been prescribed. It's something to be aware of and to be concerned with because there are some cases out there, and this is probably a show that we'll need to do at some point.
Because I tell you, my soapbox on this is so big. When you start talking about how kids are dealt with,
yeah.
Especially the fact that when you were talking about how obesity and so many things that are taking over with kids, they don't get much exercise. And it's not just the parents' fault. They don't get much exercise at schools often.
Well, it's because they want boys to settle down and be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Instead of letting them out. And they're not getting a whole lot of fresh air either.
Right. Instead of letting them outside to run around like in years gone by, there's like, no, no, sit down, be quiet. And mm-hmm. if you're too hyperactive, well, then we get you some Ritalin for that. And mm-hmm. Calm down. And here's some video games and TV. And
I know. I tell you what, fresh air and exercise, two things that are really, really good for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the old joke about the grandpa that comes over to visit the grandkids and say, it's a great day. Why don't you guys, play some football? Oh, we don't have that cartridge for the Nintendo.
Well, Murphy is upset.
Yeah, he's cheesed.
He's growling. He's been growling all day ever since we found out from a listener that apparently the yearly cost convention has decided to have a tinfoil hat contest.
Yeah, and I think this is really funny because Cause is one of those gatekeeper bloggers. He's one of the influential bloggers in the blogosphere. He was one of the organizers that helped get Howard Dean's campaign off the ground. And
oh, yeah, that's right.
Generated the groundswell of support mm-hmm. that Howard Dean picked up before that infamous scream at the Iowa caucus. Cause went on to a career as a blogger, and he, as far as the left-wing blogs are concerned, he is probably one of the two or three most read, I would think. And he's been holding an annual convention on the last couple of years, basically to get Democrats and progressives together to strategize over mm-hmm. how they can... The thing is, just as we found with Democratic Underground and Free Republic, other partisan sites, whenever you suggest that maybe things aren't the way they should be in America because the Democrats and Republicans are really working toward the same goal, you get shut out. You are marginalized. You are insane. And you catch it from both sides. That's why, we're here in the radical center catching stuff from the left because we're too socially conservative.
Uh-huh.
And we're catching stuff from the right because we dare suggest that maybe this maniacal drive to control the world's energy resources is stupid
mm-hmm.
and perhaps suicidal. So anyway, it was kind of funny then at the Cause convention that some of the bloggers there decided on a lark to hold a tinfoil hat making contest.
Oh, I'm sure it was done, tongue in cheek, because they refer to you and me and people like us as the tinfoil hat crowd.
Right,
so,
right.
But, hey, you need a tinfoil hat.
Right.
That's what I say.
Exactly. Now, these are the guys who are making fun of Wayne Madsen, a guy who has some credentials in the intelligence mm-hmm. community. This mm-hmm. is a guy's former Navy intelligence that has connections inside the IC and comes out with some really, heavy-duty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Cause and his ilk are basically just looking for weaknesses in the Republican armor. And then, guys on the right, the anti-idiotarian Rottweiler and, Daily Instapundit and all of those guys mm-hmm. are basically firing back from the other side. And those of us in the middle are saying, you guys are both ate up. We're just catching it. So anyway, these guys who were at the convention came up with this tinfoil hat contest, were ostracized by their fellow conventioners because now they're not going to take us seriously.
Oh, gosh, what a life.
Well,
of course, we are going to talk a little bit later in the show about the tinfoil hat contest.
Yes, so. But Murphy's upset because they stole the idea. And
he is. He's really upset. Of course, yeah. Java doesn't care. She doesn't have a hat yet. We're going to have to get a hat for her and take a picture.
Well, as long as we're talking about blogging and interacting on the web, let's talk about this story from New Scientist about the Pentagon mining for data now through social networking websites
mm-hmm.
like MySpace.
Right.
This is really interesting, and I think this is something that most people, like you listening, may not think enough about. Maybe you do because you're listening to us, which means you already have, a tendency towards tinfoil hatness. But you really should consider that anything you post to the internet, a forum, even email really, but especially to a web forum of any kind, or if you have a MySpace website, you might as well staple it to your next resume.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've entered an era now where, and this is just a practical advice, mm-hmm. any prospective employer is going to look you up on the web. Just mm-hmm. do a quick Google search on your name. And if anything
yeah.
turns up, and there have already been cases of people who were asked to leave college because of certain exploits.
It's also going
to,
yeah.
Right. If you're a mm-hmm. student and you're listening and you post something to a website about, I got so wasted. Yeah. Just forget about Bible college, huh? It's this will come back to bite you. But taking it a step further, the NSA and the Pentagon is starting to mine through these social networking sites to see if you are a person of interest, mm-hmm. who your network of friends might be.
You just have to live your life. I mean, it would be really easy, and you and I talk about this a lot, and I know that we get email from our listeners, and we understand why it's concerning, but don't let it run your life. Don't let it ruin your life. I mean, just live your life, and whatever happens, happens. You know, we believe that Jesus Christ, you know, he's our rock, and he wasn't in The Rock, the movie, but...
But we are, going to, we just throw that out there just as a word of caution. Just be aware that the Pentagon is looking through these things. And I do think it's interesting that it was not that long ago that Rupert Murdoch purchased MySpace.
I know. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Of course, if you're not familiar with MySpace.com, actually, it's probably soon going to become the not cool place at all to be, because everybody's discovered it. And the reason I think it's been discovered by the media is because there have been several young people who posted to MySpace.com, and they are now in jail or dead.
Right. Yeah, it's tragic, but some of the cases that we've talked about, like the young couple.
David Ludwig,
right. And MySpace was one of the sites where he had information posted. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, there's a new site now targeting Christians.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that called? I wasn't aware of
it. It's called XIANZ.com, XIANZ.com.
Yeah. I don't consider myself an Xian. I'm sorry. No. I consider myself a Christian.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. I know that there are some of our longtime listeners who are members of it. I even put up a page just to, throw the name out there and the book out there just to, market the book. But, I was a little, when I saw the name, too, I don't like the name XIANZ.
No, they probably chose it because, Christians.com is probably taken.
It is.
Yeah, there you go.
But and it looks cool, but it is interesting. And if you're listening and you're part of that site, you should be aware that that's probably a social networking site that the NSA will be looking at to see who might be connected to who out there as they try to focus on.
Next time you go there, look over in the corner and see if there's a guy smoking a cigarette. Oh, I have to, speaking of movies, because I brought up The Rock a minute ago, may we blather on?
Yes.
About the movie.
Yes.
Oh, Black Hole.
Yes, St. Louis was destroyed by the Black Hole on Saturday, and not in a good way.
No, not at all.
It was kind of cool seeing the arch, just kind of sucked into the hole. That was kind of a neat effect.
Actually, some of the effects, I have to say, were kind of cool. Others were I liked because they were really cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
The what I call them, I have a review posted at Watcher Magazine, what I call Electro Man.
Mm-hmm.
He just reminded me, if you've ever seen the movie Forbidden Planet,
yeah,
the Id Monster, I just love the way they did it. It reminded me of that a lot. Mm-hmm. It just, took me back, and I thought, oh, where's Leslie Nielsen?
Come on,
bring him in. But that movie, it could have been so much better.
Yeah, the characters were flat. They tried to inject some human interest with the lead character, Judd Nelson, being torn between his feelings for his ex-wife and his daughter. And for, Christy Swanson's character, who is his, beautiful assistant and, partner at the laboratory where they created the black hole by mistake. But they never really explored that deeply enough to make it worthwhile. They should have just left it all out.
It should have been left out and brought something else in that actually made the
more Electro Man.
More Electro Man.
And
he
we never
great.
Figured, this thing was running around the high tension lines downtown St. Louis. Now, I know guys at the local power utility. They are a customer of mine. The guys at Ameren UE would have figured out pretty quick, let's see, we've got a problem on the high tension lines here. This monster's just, okay, let's shut down the grid.
Exactly.
They would have done it.
The grid would have been down so fast.
The grid would have been down so fast, they would have been starved.
Then the guy would have gone back home.
Yeah, end of movie. Show's over.
Yeah.
Secondly, we'd like to know why, if they created a miniature black hole at this laboratory in St. Louis, why this black hole didn't sink to the center of the planet, sucking up material on the way. That's what it would have done. Gravity would have pulled it down. It would have just sucked the matter in between. And then rather than a black hole in St. Louis, we would have had a volcano in St. Louis. That's what would have happened.
I know. The physics, you have to ignore the physics. Let's just say the cool idea
it was
of a black
cool idea.
Hole just appearing in a terrestrial spot.
Yeah.
And that there's this Electro-Man creature going from world to world, sucking up energy.
Yeah.
I want to know more about that. Tell me about this guy.
Why is he here?
Does he have a tinfoil hat? I mean, I needed more closure on this guy. But instead of exploring that end of it, or even saying, this is amazing, it's technology, look what he's doing, let's try to figure out a way to do it. Mm-hmm. They didn't even bring a sinister government subplot in. Some guy who's trying to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, let's capture him and use him against the Russians.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of that. So Black Hole was a waste of 2 hours.
Not one Bulgarian actor.
Not one Bulgarian actor, which was a surprise. And they actually filmed a lot of it was filmed
in
St. Louis.
I don't know when they did it because I don't remember anybody talking about it.
No, me neither. But we don't pay much attention to local media here either. So not so good. Not so good. And it would have even been more interesting, you know, if they had just brought in, you know, like a Blues Brothers subplot. You know, I'm a whole man. That would have been better than what we saw. Well, seeing as how we didn't get any evil government men
in
Black Hole, let's talk about
evil. Well, the president was semi-evil. The vice president was radically evil.
Yeah, but
they just seemed disinterested, to be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they'd read the script, and so they knew where it was going. Arlen Specter last week, Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, came out and made what appeared at first to be a rather bold statement that he was going to hold the White House accountable for the NSA spying.
Oh, yeah.
And that he was going to make sure that as head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, the government would not be able to trample on the Constitution. The administration would not be able to trample the Constitution.
Oh, yeah. It even looked like it was going to be Cheney and Specter, you know.
Going head to head.
Imano.
Yeah. Which is kind of interesting because, you know, these are guys who've, you know, left their younger years behind. Of course, Cheney's. I'm rambling. So Specter came out and said that this was not going to fly. But the legislation that he's proposed in the Senate now to hold the to kind of rein in the administration, according to a Washington Post editorial, appears to actually make it easier for the administration to get around constitutional restrictions.
What?
Yeah, in an effort to get support among Republican senators for this bill, he has kind of opened some loopholes that the administration can drive right through. According to the Post, the most dangerous provision of the proposal would effectively repeal the current law's requirement that all domestic wiretapping take place under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. So in other words, the act would be amended to withdraw. Well, the bill would be amended to read that nothing in the act should be construed to limit the constitutional authority of the president to gather foreign intelligence information or monitor the activities and communications of any person reasonably believed to be associated with a foreign enemy. So in other words, the act, as long as the president said, we reasonably believe that this person is, you know, dealing with the enemy, that the president can go ahead and authorize then the NSA to spy and do anything.
Oh, well, that makes a big difference, doesn't it? Oh, well, apparently the president thinks this is important, so we better do it.
Yeah, exactly, which is kind of what the president's been saying all along. If I'm the president and I determine that we need to do this to fight the war on terror, then it's constitutional.
I'm the decider and I get to decide.
Yes, exactly. It also would allow the administration to go to the FISA court for permission for electronic surveillance programs, which in effect is like getting a warrant for a whole bunch of people at once without having to name any names.
You know, it's really in conjunction with this. There's another story on Watcher right now that, and if you just recently started listening to our shows, WatcherMagazine.com is where we post the stories that we think are important, and so that's why you often hear us say it's on WatcherMagazine.com. This is coming out of Chicago. Apparently, it's been observed that any trial that involves anyone who is up for possible terrorism. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of different guys who, men and women, I assume, who have been arrested for possibly plotting this or that. The sunshine is disappearing because even the lawyers are being told, sorry, but we can't let you see that.
Yeah. In other words, you can't talk about this in court because it might reveal national secrets, which makes it kind of difficult for an attorney to mount a defense.
Yes.
When your defense, according to the federal government, would reveal a state secret. How do you defend your client when the government says, I'm sorry, we have to clamp down, you know, national, federal secrecy. You can't talk about that in court. What do you do? You might as well just, you know, try to cut your best deal and kiss your client goodbye, because you can't, you know, there's nothing else you can do.
Well, you know, I watched this story on Matlock last night. I think I got the gist of it. Lionel Hutz from The Simpsons. I mean, that's about how you're going to look if you're trying to mount any kind of a defense and you can't actually use evidence.
Yeah, yeah. We can't release this evidence in court because...
But more than that, it's going to get to the point where, oh, I'm sorry, but journalists, you can't come in.
Well, that is already taking place.
Yep.
And... well, the lawsuit filed by the EFFA, the Electronic Freedom Frontiers Association, mm-hmm. Against about the AT&T NSA mm-hmm. Collaboration,
yes.
was squashed by the government because it would have revealed national secrets. So this is disturbing, because this is not the open society that we were led to believe our Constitution and the Bill of Rights mm-hmm. guarantees us.
Exactly. We keep hearing, well, you know, these other countries, they should be democracies. We want freedom for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Where's ours going?
Yeah. And the disturbing thing is that a large percentage of Americans appear to believe that it's okay as long as you're not doing anything wrong, because you shouldn't have anything to worry about if you're living the way you're supposed to. Well, the sad thing is that it's very easy in our society, very easy with the controlled media, for somebody to be arrested and charged with something, and for you to be presumed guilty and have no opportunity to prove yourself innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the purpose of some of the discussions that we've had, you know, for example, about Susan Lindauer, who, by the way, will be back in court this week for her hearing on her ability to stand trial on whether she's competent. Susan Lindauer, I guess. Jose Padilla is the other name I was trying
yes,
to think of.
Yes, exactly.
Somebody who was declared an enemy combatant mm-hmm. and locked away without the right to a trial. Now, that's finally changed, but only because by finally charging him, they mm-hmm. avoid a showdown in the Supreme Court.
Well, so, you know, going back to what you were talking about earlier, and I apologize for jumping in, but if I don't now, I'll forget. TheSpace.com and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
When you sign up on those sites, you'll get email. It's just like being in a chat room or having an instant messenger or anything like that. If your identity is out there to be seen by anybody else in that virtual room, then you will likely get email.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're being observed virtually, then the fact that you received email from that person could be suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I don't even know this person, and why did he send you a note? You realize that we've just arrested him for blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And, of course, the case is a matter of national security, and so you're not allowed to present, you know, XYZ in your defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a frightening thought. And maybe we're stretching the point just a little bit, but the fact is that this
should not... But that's our job.
This shouldn't even be an issue. This kind of thing should not be happening in the United States. At least not in
the
United States.
Not the United States we thought we lived in.
Right. And what is becoming more and more obvious with each day is that we don't live in a country that is governed by its constitution.
No, and let me tell you, the reason we even talk about this stuff is we have hope for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Or we wouldn't, I'll be honest, we wouldn't still be living here.
It's still the best deal going.
I really do love the United States. And I just think it's really sad that we are going this direction. But I also believe that there is a chance that we could go a different direction. We just need to get enough people talking mm-hmm. about it, because there's nothing like public debate.
Public debate, and then taking it into the ballot box. We need to get past this idea that if, you vote for anyone other than a Republican candidate, you're mm-hmm. throwing your vote away. Or a Democratic candidate, you're throwing your vote. Third party candidate, you might as well be voting for the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry, but that's not how mathematics works.
Mm-hmm.
So... and we get some clues as to what direction the country is going with information that is being put into the public arena. It just isn't being publicly reported by most of the mainstream media. For example, Jerome Corsi, who's written some excellent articles recently about the globalization plans of this administration, has another one that is published by Human Events over the weekend about the NAFTA superhighway. Now, this mm-hmm. information has been out there for months, and Corsi, thankfully, has a little clout behind his name. You remember he was the co-author of the book about the Swift boat veterans during the last election cycle. So when he writes about it, it gets some attention. And thankfully, he's got the guts to write about this stuff. We will post a link to the article at Human Events because it's got a nifty little map which shows what the governments of the United States, Canada, and Mexico are planning as a key component in this new entity, which will probably be called the North American Union. I don't know. I'd still like Canisexico, but, you know, at least give it a funny name if you're going to do it. They want to create a superhighway, the NAFTA superhighway, which is going to be roughly the width of 4 football fields. Okay, we're talking 4 football fields wide, 400 yards wide.
It's
that's 1,200. That's a quarter of a mile wide. Uh-huh. Essentially, it's going to follow the current path of Interstate 35. We're talking from Mexico through Laredo, Texas, up through Dallas, Kansas City, Omaha, Fargo, up to Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
And this superhighway is going to is designed basically as a conduit for material to enter the United States via trucks and then to branch out via the interstate system from the middle of the United States to the rest of the country. Now, why would this be desirable to the oligarchs who want to weld the U.S., Canada, and Mexico together? Well, because it would allow goods from the Far East, China primarily, to enter the Mexican port of Lázaro Cárdenas and bypass ports controlled by the Longshoremen's Union, thereby cutting costs.
Mm-hmm.
If you bring it in at Mexico instead of the current ports, the primary ports in the U.S., which are Long Beach, California, Houston, Texas, New Orleans, and then on the East Coast, Newark, Baltimore, Charleston, Savannah, Miami. You bring it into Mexico, you avoid the cost of having to pay the members of the Longshoremen's Union, and then you run them up into the United States on Mexican trucks, which are not bound by the same safety restrictions and regulations as trucks in the United States.
That's right, and it's a fast track, and the reason it's we call it that is because they don't have to stop at customs. They just go right by because there are RFID tags that are using what's called the Sentry system, S-E-N-T-R-I. And that Sentry system reads it as they go by. And
that's
I assume they may not even have to stop at weigh stations.
According to this, it says, yeah, they'll just be scanned electronically. They won't have to search the trucks as they come through, which means they will just zip through. The first custom stops will be at a Mexican customs office in Kansas City, Missouri.
A Mexican customs office.
In Kansas City, Missouri. And then from Kansas City, things will branch out, no doubt, on Interstate 70, headed east towards St. Louis, west toward Denver, and, you know, to all other points throughout the United States. Then there'll be another point in Winnipeg, another customs stop in Winnipeg.
Well, be sure to go and read it because we're running out of time, so we're going to have to.
Yeah, so this is coming, but this is the next big step towards melding this all the countries in North America into one big super state. And the Texas portion of this called the Trans-Texas Corridor is scheduled to begin construction in 2007.
Oh, my goodness.
This is coming.
Well, speaking of coming, we got a great guest starting tomorrow night. Janet Phelan was with us just a week or two ago via phone, and she had a tremendous interview with Derek. We had some phone problems. We've had phone problems off and on lately, and we had some that night. In fact, there was a big storm that night as well, and so it was just Derek, but you're going to enjoy, I think, and find very interesting what she had to say.
Yeah, it's a very sad story that affected her personally and her family, but the implications for the rest of us, in other words, if it could happen to her, it could happen to us
exactly.
as well. And that's why we wanted to talk with her about it. In the weeks to come, we've got Jerry E. Smith, who'll talk about HAARP. Peter Lavenda is going to come back. We confirmed that with him. We will talk about Nazis and the occult the week of June the 27th, 28th, and 29th. And we will also bring back some other favorites like Eric John Phelps, most likely, and Paul Collins and Philip Collins.
The Frog Brothers.
Yes. Aww. So we've got some great stuff to talk about as our summertime series of conspiracies continues.
Speaking of conspiracies, folks, get those aluminum foiled hats done because we are going to have a contest right here, right now. During conspiracy series, we're going to go all the way through for 7 weeks. You got time.
Mm-hmm.
You've got time. So we are going to post in the next few days. We're going to post all the rules and the categories. We're going to have three categories.
Okay.
So you can win in three different categories. And we'll have runners up in each of the categories. So we're going to post those, and we'll tell you what the prizes are. So start your plans now.
That's
we're
right.
We're going to have a really good, you know, you never know. You might be able to patent it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, this tinfoil hat, you know, dances.
This one glows. It's radioactive.
Oh, no, wait a minute, we're taking a peek and they all seem to glow. What's with that?
In the meanwhile, our email address is always open for your suggestions. We appreciate it when you send us links to articles we might not have seen. That's how we keep our network of intelligence gathering active, and we can post those stories to Watcher Magazine and talk about them here on PID Radio. Of course, that address is radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
And please join us at the forum. You are welcome there 24/7, 365. It's peeringintodarkness.com/forum.
Until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Have a great evening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Gonna step up to the microphone. Say loud and clear.